And I was actually just a few minutes ago thinking about all the great things, and we're not going to reminisce tonight, and not going to cry. I'm not going to cry. None of that stuff. All right. But I was thinking a few minutes ago about many years ago when Miss Linda and Norwin were first were coming to church, and I back then the church was small enough that I was like, Jody and I were just involved in everybody's life. I mean, birthday parties and showers and funerals. Every funeral, if it was out of town, I was going to be at that funeral. And so Miss Linda and Norman had a death in their family, and it was in East Texas. And I drove out there and was there for the day, and you know, just to be there for them. And the church really started growing, and Miss Linda loved to brag on me, and she would always make me look good. And she was telling people, he's such a good pastor, and he drove to the funeral for our family and all this. And I finally had to pull her aside and go, Miss Linda, I'm not going to everybody's funerals anymore. You're going to have to quit telling that story, because they don't think I love them as much as I love you. And so all the way from way back there to just thinking about Michael and Irisema got married the other day. Jody was officiated the ceremony, and man, and how, what God has done all through that journey. And that is all the reminiscing I'm going to do right now. All right. We'll save that for Sunday. And, you know, Jody and I were driving up to the church tonight, and we're like, whoo. You know, last time on Wednesday night, this feels weird. But here's what we know. We know that God's got a plan, and we know that God is working and God is moving. And it doesn't mean that friendships end or any of that stuff. And so I'm stop. That's it. All right, I'm done. Okay. Matthew chapter 11. Open your Bible. All right. I want to read one scripture to you tonight. Just one scripture. And I think, I really don't know why this is the scripture for tonight, other than I want to say this to somebody, that God has your situation. We sort of live in a world where you earn it, and you everything is being watched, and you have to do everything a certain way, and so we sort of take on the role of hero for people in our lives sometimes. We want to help everybody and fix it for everybody, whether it be the boss or the family. We take on responsibility that's very hard for us to carry sometimes. And Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, here's what he said. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I just want somebody to get that one tonight. Sometimes we live at the end of our rope, the end of our money, the end of time. We have so much going on that we are trying to accomplish and trying to do and trying to be, and we forget that God is in charge of this thing, not us. And so when we try to step in and do God's job, it's just too much. I just recently read a story I thought was so good. It said a pet store delivery truck was making its rounds, and each time it came to a stoplight, the driver would get out, take a 2x4, and start banging on the side of the truck. And after seeing it happen several times, another man stopped and asked him, you know, what are you doing? And he said, well, this is a 2-ton truck, and I'm carrying 4 tons of canaries in here, so every time I stop, I have to keep 2 tons of them in the air. And I feel like some of us are living our lives like that. Like, we just got to keep the stuff flying around, and we got to make sure that we never slow down, and you know, juggling chainsaws and all of that stuff. And I just believe the Lord wants to say to somebody tonight, it's okay to not be everything to everybody. It's okay to be okay. It's okay not to be the superstar of your life. It's okay. One thing we do is we try to manage other people's thoughts of us. And we put a lot of energy into making sure that they think what we want them to think about us. And the truth is, they're thinking what they're thinking, no matter how hard you work, no matter how hard you try, they're thinking what they're thinking. And you can't control that, but we spend a lot of time with that. I want to ask you this question. How low do you let your gas tank get in your car before you add some gas? All right? Look, there's some of you already looking at people. You know people, all right? So how many of you let it to get, before you add some gas, you let it get down to 3/4 of a tank? Who adds gas at 3/4? Oh, man. Well, the next hurricane, we're going to let y'all plan for stuff, all right? I mean, all right, how about if it gets to a half a tank, how many? All right, we got a few planners in the house. How about 1/4 of a tank? Okay, all right, that's getting close to an emergency. Now, how many people in here are like, the light's on, but I know we got at least 10 more miles out of this. 40 miles when the light comes on. Yeah. And then my mom used to say, or my dad used to say, she drives on fumes and faith everywhere she goes. And so, I don't think it's an indication of how we live our lives, okay? Getting to the bottom of the gas tank. But it is a way to look at our lives. And how far down do you let your spiritual, emotional, mental gas tank get before you decide to fill it up? How many of us are just running on empty most of the time? There's not enough time. There's not enough money. There's not enough of us to go around. So we leave out things in our life. And usually we leave out the things that are important because we're trying to take care of the things that are urgent. And sometimes the stuff that is urgent in our life is really not the stuff that is important. It's just the stuff that's screaming the loudest at us in the moment. And we all got that stuff. We all have those things in our life where it's screaming at us. Go do this, go do this, go do this. Spend money on this, spend time on this. And so we do that, and then we start to feel depleted. Our tank starts to empty out. And so the Bible spends a lot of time talking about this, about how we spend our time and how we spend our money and all those things. But it talks about how that we are not built to run 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're just not made that way. God did not create you to be able to brag about how busy you are. I'm gonna let that sink in for just a second. We do this, and I'm guilty of it too. Somebody says, "How are you doing?" Woo, just busy. Woo, just busy, busy. Just running. Didn't have time to call you. Didn't have time to take care of things. We've been eating fast food every night this week, and we haven't washed dishes in a month. I hope that's nobody's ever said that. But you get it. We kind of wear it as a badge. Like, I'm so busy. And in our society, you know what that means? I'm so important. So we've elevated ourselves to God status. I'm the one that's keeping this whole thing together. Look at what I'm doing. Look at how I'm sacrificing for everybody. And when we do that, we are being directly disobedient to God's creation. We're being directly disobedient to the way, let me say it this way, the way God created us. So think about it. You know the story. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So he does all this in 6 days. And what does he say he did on the seventh day? He rested. That was the last time you took a full day off. I mean, you just said, I ain't doing nothing. Sunday. All right, Sunday. So if now listen, here's what most of us will do. We get up and we come to church, and then we got 14 things that have got to be done after church before we go to bed that night. This and this and this and this and this. And we've talked about this. Robert talked about this a few months ago. The idea of a Sabbath and taking a Sabbath day, it completely goes against the grain of everything our society tells us to do. Our society says, you know, you always have time to fit one more thing in. And God says you need one day a week where you're just not producing anything. It's just a lazy day. That feels good, doesn't it? Now, how many of you, if I told you, all right, tomorrow is a Sabbath. Now, if I told you it's a lazy day, you go, I can't be a part of that. Can't be a part of that. But if it's a Sabbath. God chose for you to be unproductive for this entire day. How'd that make you feel? No laundry. Hallelujah. No guilt about no laundry. No cooking. I don't know. You can cook if you need to. But we're just going to, Jody and I, for years, we would do a Sabbath day, and we would eat out on that day. We were saying, we're really not going to do anything that day. Now, I also know that if I'm going to do a Sabbath day, boy, do I have to plan the other 6 days right. Because all that stuff I was doing, 1/7 of my life was happening on that Sabbath day. And now I got to figure out how to do all that stuff or get it done or let somebody else help me do it. I got to do that in the other 6 days that God's given me. Now, when we're talking about running on empty, bad stuff happens when you run on empty. We've all done it. Years ago, Jody and I were on a trip with the kids, and we were on the interstate, and I was running on empty. I got 40 miles left, right? I know I can make it to the next town. I've made this trip 100 times. I know I can make it to that gas station at that exit until we ran into traffic that was dead stop. And I ain't gonna lie to you, I panicked. I kept thinking, what have I done? I'm gonna have my whole family out here on the side of the interstate in this heat with no gas. And I'm under my breath, I'm praying, God, I need you to get me out of this one. I really need some help. And it moved a little and moved a little until finally we got to a one of those roadside stops, a little park. And I pulled in there, we turned the car off, and we got out and we played under the shade trees until we saw the traffic moving again. And then we went and jumped in the car and took off. Now listen, that's fine for one time. But if I live my life like that, if I live my life on empty, bad stuff happens. You know when I make bad decisions? When I'm running on empty. I'm out of control. I'm not paying attention to the things that really, really matter. Well, when I got a full tank, when I'm taking care of things the way God wants me to, and I'm running on a full tank, I can slow down and make better decisions. Sometimes on Sunday mornings, we're getting ready, and we got the two sinks in the bathroom and the two mirrors, and I'm in a hurry, and Jody will look at me and say, you know, it's not going to happen any faster by rushing. And she's exactly right. You can rush and hurry and hurry and hurry, and then you realize that, you know, it's the same principle as when somebody flies around you and in traffic and then they just take off, and then you pull up right behind them at the next red light. That's so satisfying, isn't it? Makes me feel so good. I just want to say, gotcha. All right. But we live our lives that way. Like, I'm going to hurry and it's going to make a difference. And God did not create us to live hurried all the time. He created us to live in peace. Let's look back at our scripture that we started with. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let me just read the whole thing. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. The picture here is of two oxen in a yoke right beside each other. So look what Jesus is saying to us in verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. You put one ox in a yoke, and he's got to pull the whole thing, the whole plow by himself. And Jesus is saying, hey, come on over here. Get yoked up with me. Let's get connected here. I'll help you pull the plow, and I'll teach you some things along the way too. You're going to learn some stuff from me. And then he gives us some instruction by telling us how he's going to do it. He said, because I'm gentle and humble in heart. He's like, I'm not running like a crazy man all day. I'm going to be very purposeful in where I'm going and what I'm doing and how I'm living. And if you'll just yoke up with me, I'll teach you how to do this too, so that you are not exhausted and worried and afraid all the time. Just come on. I'm gentle. I'm humble. We'll do this together. We'll get this field plowed, but you're going to have to stay close to me. I'll help you. So the question is, are we letting God help us carry that load? Or are we just doing it by ourselves, thinking that we'll make it happen, we'll figure it out? I often wondered about how many people are sick and have diseases because of stress and anxiety and worry and carrying loads they were not meant to carry. The research is there. If we carry loads we're not meant to carry, it's bad for us physically. We don't do well with stress that is ongoing. Oh, there's moments of fight or flight, and you get the job done, and you got to work hard for a few days and maybe long hours, but as a lifestyle, I get it. I understand. You might be working two jobs right now, but I promise you this, if you're doing it for him, he'll help you and he'll promote you and he'll bless you financially. If you do it his way, he's going to provide. You may have to do it like this for a minute, but he's going to provide. He's going to take you down this path. Our job is to say, Lord, how are you? What are you doing? Let me join up with you. Let me yoke up with you. So I want to share several things with you real quick. When we run on empty, we're really at risk, okay? So one of the things that makes us run on empty or run out of gas is when we don't start out with a full tank. We try to stretch our spiritual life as thin as we can and get by with as little as possible because our time constraints and all of that. And when we start out our day and our tank is already at zero, and then we've got to expend spiritual and emotional energy throughout our day, it goes negative. And again, that's when bad stuff happens to us, is when we make bad choices. So if we can get our tank full in the beginning and make sure that we keep it full, then we're not in as much danger. Here's another thing, another reason we run out of gas: being too busy to pause and refuel. I'm too fast to stop and get, I got too much to do to stop and get gas. I got too much to do to waste time filling up. And what we've convinced ourselves is that we're different. I don't run on the same stuff that you run on. I don't need to be filled up like you need to be filled up. And so when we're so busy that we can't pause and say, Lord, what are you doing? When I'm hurrying and I'm busy and I need to get gas, but I think I'll just push it just a little bit farther because I don't want to pause. I just don't want to take time right now to slow down. Again, that's when we end up running on empty and we make bad choices. Here's another reason we find ourselves with an empty tank. We're unaware of hidden leaks there are that are draining us. I don't have time to get into this one, but relationships can make our tank leak. Relationships are heavy sometimes. Relationships at work. That's why it's so important to have strong relationships with the people you're close to, and to have those people that are going to have your back and love you and encourage you but tell you the truth at the same time. But responsibilities will make our spiritual tank leak too. When we're carrying too many responsibilities, it's like poking a hole right in the tank. We're trying to carry more than we can carry, because when we do that, we don't even know we're running out. Here's another one: ignoring the owner's manual and pushing my car farther than it was created to go. I mean, when I'm trying to do this in a way that God never tells us is okay to do it. I just want to stop for a second. How many of us, and you don't have to, don't raise your hand. How many of us, we think personally we're just a little bit different than everybody else? If you were somebody else giving you advice about your life tonight, what advice would you give yourself? It's not you, it's somebody else. What would you tell them? What would you say if they said, my spiritual life seems a little thin, I'm just exhausted all the time? What kind of advice would you give them? Would you say, well, maybe you need to find a Bible study? And they're like, I don't have time for that. And you go, well, that's part of your problem. You don't have time to fill up. Or maybe it's about relationships. What kind of advice would you give somebody else? Because we kind of ignore the owner's manual. The owner's manual, Scripture tells us what we should be doing, but we kind of will ignore it as long as we're getting what we want out of things. That's why we need a Sabbath day. So sometimes we our tank gets low because we're just driving faster and faster. And the faster we go, the quicker our tank runs out. How could you slow the speed down in your life just a little bit? I heard somebody say one time they had four kids, and they said, we only let our kids be involved in one extracurricular at a time. So we don't let our kids play baseball and ballet and singing lessons and karate all at the same time. And this person basically said, we don't work for them. They work for us. That's not what they said. All right. How many of us have started to work for our kids? Well, they want to. They want to. I'm not telling you they shouldn't. You shouldn't do those things, but where's the balance in it? Where's the balance? Sometimes no will just relieve so much for you. We have this tendency to just hold on to every little thing and trying to make everybody happy. What is it that you might be able to let go of right now that would make a difference? Listen, can we just be honest? I mean, getting rid of Netflix might save you 6 hours a week or 26 hours a week. I don't know, whatever it is. That may be a time killer that needs to go. Facebook might be a time killer that needs to go, and you might actually get more sleep. Decisions, that's all it is. It's just decisions for every one of us. Sometimes we're distracted because we're not watching our gauges. This happens to us quite often. We get in the car, and one of us will go, oh, my goodness, we got to get gas. And we're already running right on time. You're going to have to stop and get gas. Why? Because the last person that drove the car didn't. I'm teasing. It's just as much me. I'm just teasing. So, we're not watching the gauges. Not watching the gauges. So what are the gauges in your life? It'd be nice, wouldn't it, if we could just go, and God goes, okay, your sleep gauge is running low. You got to figure out how to get some sleep. That is a gauge. Are you sleeping? If you're not sleeping, then things are not going to go well down the road. We all know this. Listen, everybody around you knows when you're not getting enough sleep. Uh-huh. And so why not look at the gauge? Why not make sure? Here's one. I know we hate to talk about this, but when we look at our weight, is it going up or is it going down? What is it? It's a gauge that we need to pay attention to. You know, I heard somebody say the other day, they said, I eat my feelings. And I was like, I get it. Pass the chocolate cake. I'm feeling sad today, right? We understand that. That is a gauge in our life. How about this one? Irritability. Boy, that's a gauge that everybody in your life would be happy if we figured out, right? Because we understand it. If I'm so irritable, and we all get there. Anybody who says you don't, there's other gauges you need to be paying attention to, like lying. How much lying are you doing? No. So where's the irritability gauge at right now? If I'm always a little bit aggravated, if there's an undertone of aggravation and frustration with everybody in my life, here's what I know. It's not everybody in my life. If I'm the only common denominator, it's me. My gauge is out of whack. I'm not paying attention to what I need to pay attention to. How about this one? Where's your peace level? We're talking about negative things, but where's your peace level? It should be off the charts. Do I have peace when I lay down at night? Do I have peace? How about this one? Stress. Where's your stress level? Is it idling at the right place? I had a Somebody told me many years ago, they're talking to pastors, and he said, look, if 10% of your church is not agitated with you, you're not pushing hard enough to reach the lost. And then he said, but if 60% of your church is agitated with you, you're pushing too hard. All right? So we get that, right? Stress. There are moments we need to push harder. Creates a little bit of stress. There are moments you just got to work harder. You just got to push harder. You got to dig in. But it can't be, you can't rev that engine. My mom used to, on cold mornings, she would go out and get in the car, and she would crank the car, and here's what she would do. Rev it as hard as it could go, hoping it would get warm real quick. And my dad would go, stop, you're going to blow it up. And my mom was just like, but it's warm, all right? And that was the only thing that mattered to her. And so when we're living like that, think about it. When you're not watching the stress gauge, it's just like revving the engine 24 hours a day and wondering why these other gauges are not going right. Wondering why the other gauges are going too. What happened to my sleep? Why am I irritable? What happened to peace? All those things. And so we're just, it's showing us that things are not healthy. I love this one. Patience. Where's your patience gauge? Are you running high on patience? Does it feel good? Are you running low on patience? Whew. I just leave that one hanging there. That one speaks for itself. If we're not being patient with the people around us, something in our life is not right. Sometimes we get overloaded. And the more we're carrying, the sooner the gas runs out. The more you're carrying, the sooner the gas runs out. If you're carrying too much, it's like the guy with the 4 tons of canaries, right? If you're carrying 4 tons of canaries, you got to keep them flying for a while because you're going to run out of gas. And some of us are doing that with our lives. And we're carrying more than we're capable of carrying. And I get it. I get it. Sometimes life just puts stuff on you that you did not ask for, you didn't plan for, you didn't intend for it to happen. It's just there and it happens. Here's the beautiful thing about that. That's why God gives us church family. That's why God places people in our lives that love us. That's why when our gauges are out of control, we can lean on somebody else a little bit. When their gauges are out of control, they can lean on us a little bit. Read the first few chapters in the book of Acts. When the early church started, they just spent time together. If somebody needed something, everybody just pitched in and helped. And sometimes when I read those scriptures, I do think about Grace Point and what's happening around here. And I see people helping each other all the time. Whether it's moving from one apartment to another or just standing beside somebody when they're going through a hard time. We all get overloaded, but God created us to live in community with other people so that we don't have to live overloaded forever. We can rev it for a minute, but then we can back off and let God help us with that. Here's the next one. There's three more of these. We run out of gas because of the pressure to get everything done now. We keep it revved up because it's got to be done right now. So I want to challenge you. What are the things in your life that need to be done right now? And what are the things that can wait? The things that have to be done right now and the things that can wait. And then if we're really honest about it, we can say, oh, all right, are these things that I feel like have to be done right now, are they really necessities? Or could I get rid of some of this? Sometimes when we're filling up our life with things that we say are necessities, it's really us trying to avoid any downtime so we can avoid our own brokenness. Lay down at night, it's going. I got to fill it up with something. Any minute throughout the day when I'm not busy, boy, I start thinking about all the problems and all the stuff. And so we fill it up, fill it up, fill it up, fill it up. And when we realize that sometimes we're filling up those places in our life with busyness that God wants to fill himself. He wants to be the one to fill those needs in our life. But we don't slow down long enough. We hit the gas pedal and we push ahead. Here's another one. Reason we run out of gas, pride. We're just prideful. We think limits of our tank, our gas tank, just don't apply to us. You know, when you get a new car, you find out real quick how many gallons does this hold? It holds 23 gallons, right? I can try to convince myself all day it holds 30 gallons. And what's going to happen? I'm going to run out on the way to somewhere. I'm going to find myself on the side of the road. And some of us are doing that very thing. We put on every morning, we get up and we put on the Superman cape, and we assume that our lives are different than everybody else's, and we would never recognize it as pride, but we say things like, I can do it. Somebody says, how you doing? I'm good. I got it. Don't worry about me. I'm always okay. And the truth is, there's not one of us that is just always okay. There are moments when it's just too much. That's why that Sabbath is so important. That's why those friendships are so important. That's why having people to lean on is so important. Here's the 10th one, and this is the last one. We run out of gas because we have no margin in our life. Back in the day, we used to buy notebook paper. I don't know if kids still get notebook paper or not. All right. It's got a red line down one side and blue lines. I remember at the beginning of every school year, oh, man, I loved getting those composition books, right? I remember having a few teachers that were sticklers about staying between the red lines. I always loved the teachers to just like let you write off the side and go up and, you know, just whatever. It didn't matter. Flip it over, wrong, just do whatever you got to do. But I recognize now what those teachers were trying to do. And when we stay between those two red lines, we're saying, I'm giving myself some room, some safety room on both sides. I'm giving myself room to trip and fall, and it's still going to be okay. I'm still going to be safe. Because there's some of us that are living so close to that edge that one little mess up is going to throw us off to the point that we can't get back. There's got to be margin in our lives. What if we said, I'm going to live on... Listen, I'm not saying you got to be there today, okay? I'm not saying you ever got to be there. This is your choice. I'm not saying that we're there today, but financially, what if we said, I'm going to pray and I'm going to do this God's way and I'm going to let him help me. And one day, I want to live on less than I make. One day, I want to be able to give to him and I want to be able to save money too. I'm not going to spend every... I'm not going to get a raise and go, woo-hoo, new car. I can afford a bigger car payment now. I'm going to live in the margins of my life, because that's where peace is at. Because we've probably all been there where you're like, I almost said one car payment away from disaster. Listen, Jody and I have been there early on where it was like, I mean, a fifth of a car payment and we're on the edge of disaster. I mean, if things don't work out the way we think they are this month, if this car breaks down, we are in big trouble. And so maybe you're not at that place right now where you can create margin in your finances. And maybe it's hard to create margin in your time. and all of those things. But what if that's the goal? What if you said, okay, I'm moving that direction. I want God to help me. What if you said, what if all of us said, Lord, what do you want my life to look like 5 years from now? What do you want this to be? What do you want my life to be in 5 years? Do you want it to look like it does right now? And I'll just tell you, if you think, well, yeah, God wants it to look like it does right now, then you're not growing. You're not dreaming about what he wants to do with your life. God does not want your life to look in 5 years like it does tonight. There's next steps to take. There's growth that needs to happen. God is moving in our lives. He wants to change us. He wants to make us effective in other areas of our life. He wants to help us with those things we've been struggling with. And so it starts with us saying, okay, what's important? What's important? And then we get to say, Lord, I know I've got so much. I only got so much in the tank, and I want to use this the way you want me to use it. I want to be realistic about your will and your plan, and I want to trust you to help me accomplish what you want to accomplish in my life. And to just say, Lord, I trust you. Some of us look in the mirror and we say, I'm the only person in my life I can trust. Boy, that has to hurt God when he's right there wanting to help us, wanting to encourage us, wanting to work miracles for us, and we just haven't let him. All right. I want you to stand with me if you would. I want us to pray this simple prayer. Lord, what do you want my life to look like 5 years from now? What do you want my life to be 5 years from now? If you're not serious about it, don't even pray it. I don't want to put any pressure on you. Maybe this is not your night. But if you're ready to say, I want to be and go and do and live the way God wants me to, God, what do you want this to look like? And then help me to put together the plan that's going to help me get there. Lord, I thank you so much for tonight, God. Thank you for your word. Lord, that simple word, come unto me, all of you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. And Lord, for the person tonight that is struggling and tired, and Lord, there's just not enough margin in their finances and not enough margin in their time, Lord, I just pray that today you would work on all of our behalf in those areas. Lord, show us the things that need to change and help us, God, to allow you to work in us and change us and make us what you want us to be. Lord, we might have to make some hard decisions, but we know that with your help, with good godly counsel, we can make those choices and we can follow that path. And we just pray that you would help us to yoke up with you tonight, Lord, and go where you're going. Learn from you, your gentle ways, Lord, in a world that's going haywire every day, Lord. Help us to connect with you and learn your gentle ways, even in this crazy world. And God, we give you praise and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Give him some praise, everybody. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. All right. I want you to do one more thing for me before you go. Find somebody and say, can I pray for your five-year goal? Just one person. Can I pray for your five-year-old? You don't have to pray for, I know some of you just like got nervous. You don't have to pray for them right now. All right. You can pray for them after you leave, and that's okay. Just tell them you're going to pray for them. Ask them if you can pray for their five-year goal. Love y'all. I'll see y'all Sunday.